I draw your attention to the Word of God in the first chapter of the second Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. These are the words that I want to focus upon this morning. The subject is becoming fishers of men. Becoming fishers of men. The Lord Jesus Christ was a down-to-earth person. The common people heard him gladly, the Bible tells us. He spoke plainly and he spoke simply so that everyone could understand. We think of the clarity of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reached all classes of people. The rulers were reached by Christ. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of John's Gospel how Nicodemus was reached by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the 10th chapter of this Gospel of Mark, the rich young ruler was reached by the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious were reached by Christ. The irreligious too. The Scripture tells us how that he reached the humble fisherman as well. How many times do we read in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ being on a boat or being by the seaside? On the Sea of Galilee, here in this portion, it was early in the morning. Few people were on the shore at that particular hour. About the only people active that early in the morning were the weary fishermen who were finishing another hard night of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. In one boat, there were two brothers standing while they cast their nets into the sea. Dragging them back into the boat, hoping to catch a few more fish. In another boat nearby, two brothers from a different family, they sit while they mend their nets, preparing themselves for the next night of fishing, for the next work that needed to be done, and hoping that they would land an even better catch than that which they had got before. Things are winding down. And all the men are anxious to get the catch to market and to go home and to get some rest, to refresh themselves, to be reinvigorated for the task that lay before them. But as they finish their activities for that morning, someone passes by along the shoreline and he calls to the men in the boat. He invites them to come and to follow him. And then he does. Four of those men in the boats, they leave their nets. They leave their boats behind to follow him as his disciples. The Bible tells us here in verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." It was a call that changed the lives of these men forever. For the Lord did make these men, these simple Galilean fishermen, he transformed them into some of the greatest fishers of men the world has ever seen. What a challenging passage this is for our hearts today as we meet in God's presence. The Lord wants to do in your life and in my life just what he did in the lives of these men so long ago. He wants to take us just as we are, with all our faults and failures, with all our rough edges, and he wants to transform us into fishers of men. This passage of God's Word today gives us a few insights into this. How it can come to pass in our lives. As we look at these verses together, today we will see how we can become fishers of men. I want you to see some things here in relation to this. First of all, the person we must follow. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Come ye after me. The person we must follow. These men left everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 20, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. The word followed in verse 18. It means to cleave to another. Conforming to his example. In other words, these men left their nets. They left their boats. And their life as they knew it. To cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to learn from him. And what instruction they received from the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ go into the various places of interest. They saw that the Lord Jesus Christ met with the people, the religious people, the outstanding citizens of that particular day, and people of all ranks of society. The Lord Jesus Christ met with them. For example, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The leper in Mark chapter 1 here. The man with the legion in Mark chapter 5. The sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. The woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. A Gentile woman with a sick daughter in Mark chapter 7. And so we could go on to cite example after example of how the Lord Jesus Christ met with people. Met with different people. Met with people with differing problems. Jesus Christ taught them this truth that every man and every life matters to God. If these disciples had followed most of us around, they would have learned that people like us matter. People in our economic bracket of life. People with a particular ethnic background. People of every walk of life, they matter to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved them all. And the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to them all. And you'd glad that the Lord didn't put any restrictions on the kind of people he would love. If he had, then he wouldn't have chosen you and me. Because some of us perhaps are the most unlovable. And yet the Lord loved us. What am I saying this morning? When you follow the right person, you learn the truth that God doesn't want people to perish. He doesn't want people to perish. In fact, the Bible teaches us that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, he came to die for sinners, to seek and to save those that were lost. And if you're not saved this morning, thank God you're included there. Amongst those that are lost. Amongst those whom the Lord came to seek and to save. And thank God you can be saved today in this very service. You can know in your heart the saving grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is to be preached everywhere and to everyone. To go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. To teach all nations or to make disciples of all nations. The person we are to follow. And then, of course, I want you to see here also in this passage the preparations on which we must focus. Look at verse 19. And when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. James and John are seen here mending their nets. The word mending means to render complete, to prepare or to strengthen. In other words, they were getting their nets ready to cast them out again into the water. They want to be sure there's no holes in their nets where the fish can swim through. They want to be sure their nets are strong and will not break. That they're adequately prepared. If we are going to be effective as fishers of men in this world, then we need to be sure that our nets are ready to be cast. Are your nets ready to be cast? As far as this gospel mission is concerned in this church, as far as the gospel outreach, not only in the mission, but ongoing into the future in this church is concerned, whether it's among the young, whether it's among the middle-aged, or whether it's among the older. What do I mean by mending our nets and preparing in this way? First of all, be sure of your own salvation. Our nets are not prepared if we're not sure of our own salvation. You need, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. To prove your own selves, says Paul. And we need to examine our own hearts today to see if we're truly the Lord's. Make your calling and election sure this morning. Be sure of your own salvation. And we can be sure because God's Word gives us the assurance. And then, of course, in the second place, we need to be able to share what the Lord has done for us with someone else. Your best witnessing tool is the simple story of how the Lord Jesus Christ saved you and changed your life. It doesn't require you to be a theologian. My experience of the Christian church, there are very few theologians. There are only a few who are gifted in that regard. And God has given those gifts to the church, and we're thankful for those people. But the Lord doesn't require you to necessarily to be a theologian. Think of the blind man at the temple, how he simply told. In John chapter 9, he simply told. He says, whereas I was blind, now I see. It was very simple. Well, they tried to twist his words. They tried to corner him. They tried to catch him out. But he simply told the story of his conversion, what the Lord had done in his life. And thirdly, we need to be in the right shape for the Lord to use us when he gives us the opportunities to witness for Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. Listen to the words of Scripture again. What it says. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always. Listen. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer. Are you ready to give an answer? Of the reason of the hope that's in you. What kind of shape are you in, spiritually speaking, this morning? Make sure that your nets are prepared so the Lord can take you and use you to reap a harvest wherever you are in this life. You in your small corner and I in mine. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the person we must follow. And then, of course, the preparations upon which we must focus. But I want you to see, thirdly this morning, the process we must find. Look at verse 16 of Mark chapter 1. As they walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Peter and Andrew were casting their nets when Jesus found them. The word means they were casting first on the one side and then on the other side. In other words, they were casting their nets all over the place, trying to gather in as much fish as possible. And so in this we see their diligence, the industry of these men, in what they were doing. They were putting their hand to the task with all their might, and God has called people in this church to put their hand to the plow. And thank God for those who do. And I trust that you will be numbered amongst those who do. During this mission, that you will put your hand to the gospel plow, that you will put your hand to the gospel net. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. The lesson for those of us who would be fishers of men is this. We are to be in the business of casting the net wherever we go and everywhere we go. I think the best plan for witnessing that I have ever seen is the plan used by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, our great example. He just shared the message wherever He went. As He went about His daily life, He used every situation as an opportunity to talk to someone about the condition of their soul. He used the well of water to talk to a thirsty woman. He used the bread to speak to the hungry multitude. He talked about seed to the farmers, money to the merchants. He used the ordinary run-of-the-mill experiences of life to get the message out. And we need to do the same. Sometimes we try to be too complicated and then we get tangled up in our words. Let's use the things of life. I know a man and he talked to everybody about the weather. And of course, living in Northern Ireland, you've always plenty to talk about, don't you? About the weather. Sometimes you get the four seasons in the one day. But you know, you can talk about the weather, but then you can talk about the Lord, because the Lord's in control of the weather. And He always got the message over. And He used that means. And I'm a firm believer in the truth that every conversation can be turned into a conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are listening to His voice as to what is happening here. And the Lord Jesus Christ has set before us here a process. What is the right process? Is it the Roman road? People talk about the Roman road. In Romans, the verses there in Romans that relate to all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, etc., etc. Through the book of Romans, is it John 3:16? What a great text that is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those verses will work just fine, whether in Romans or John 3:16. But in reality, the right process is the Spirit-filled believer pointing the lost soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, "Ye shall be witnesses unto Me." Unto Me. Witnesses unto Christ. And it all boils down to this witnessing of Christ, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that we must do. And then, of course, I want you to see the places we must fish. You see, in verse 16, in this passage of God's Word, as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Peter and Andrew were casting their nets into the water. Why? Because that's where the fish live. That's where the fish live. They've been wasting their time had they been casting their nets onto dry ground. If they were going to enclose fish in their nets, they would have to do it where the fish are. The same truth holds when it comes to the matter of witnessing. If we are going to see people saved, then we have got to go where they are. We have to go out into the streets and lanes of the city and compel men and women to come in that the house may be filled. We are to be actively engaged in this matter of getting the message out to the world. People are perishing. We have got the antidote for the sickness that people have, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must get that message out into the world. We must preach the gospel in the church. We must preach the gospel in the world at large. If we are to see people see you. In Haggai chapter 2, the Old Testament, verse 19, it asks a very important question. It says this, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" Is the seed yet in the barn? The implications is this. As long as the seed sits in the barn, it cannot be planted. As long as the seed sits in the barn, it cannot germinate. It cannot produce a harvest. Seed that merely sits in the barn cannot accomplish its mission. The same is true for the gospel seed. It must be taken out of the barn.
It must be sown in the world if the harvest is to be reaped.
May God help us to sow that seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We understand this, but we still don't always know where to fish, do we? But the Lord Jesus Christ knows where to fish. Launch out into the deep, he said. Let down your nets for a draught. Do you remember he told them in John 21 to put the net out on the right side of the fish, of the ship, in order to catch the fishes. And if we listen to the Lord's voice, have our nets mended and are ready, he will guide our steps to the very places where the fish are to be caught. You see, God is sovereign, men and women, in salvation. He is sovereign in salvation. He's working out a plan of saving his people from their sins. He will send us to the right places if we follow him. He will bring the fishes into the net. Will we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? If we don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our nets will be empty. But those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ in John 21, they brought in a great draught of fishes. Her net break, the Bible tells us. Such was the draught of fishes they brought in. There's one final thing, and it's this. The patience we must foster. Notice verse 17. Come ye after me. Mark 1:17. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. That statement is in the future sense. The future tense. In other words, they would get there, but it would take time. What I like is this. Jesus saw the potential in the lives of these men. And the Lord sees the potential in your life this morning here in this service. Think of what Peter became. Great preacher. Acts 2, Acts 4. Author of Bible books. 1st and 2nd Peter. Andrew, he became a great personal witness. John 1. We've been looking at that in the Bible studies. James became a martyr. John became a pastor and a preacher, an author of 5 New Testament books, including the book of the Revelation, a man in intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord saw the potential in these people. That Jesus chose them. They didn't choose him. Disciples normally chose a rabbi to follow. Jesus went after his disciples. He chose them with the objective of taking them. Like he caught these men. And he would equip them to do the great task they've been called to do. You may feel this morning in this service you'll never be a witness. You want to see people saved. You want to point people to heaven. But you feel, I'm so inadequate. I'm so unprepared this morning. Listen, if the Lord Jesus Christ can take these ignorant, unlearned fishermen and use them to touch the world, he can take us this morning. And he can use us. God takes the weak things of this world. The things that are not, the base things. To bring to naught the things that are. 1 Corinthians 1. That no flesh should glory in his presence. John Wesley said this. The church has nothing to do but to save souls. That's the business of the church. He went on to say, therefore spend and be spent in this work. It is not your business to speak so many times but to save souls. As many souls as you can, to bring as many sinners as you can to repentance. That's the business of the church. Again, Wesley said, some like to live, William Booth said, some like to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And again, John Wesley said, we have one business on earth, that is to save souls. Matthew Henry said, I would think it a greater happiness to gain one soul for Christ than mountains of silver and gold for myself. It's the greatest work of all, men and women. Let us go to the task of winning souls to see the empty seats filled. We can all look at the empty seats and say, oh, look at the empty seats, and we groan and complain about them. But we have got to do something about filling them. And we have the means at our disposal to do that. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God many of you are engaged in this work, but we encourage all of us today, all of you today, to become engaged. This is our responsibility. Whether it's Sunday school teachers or workers in this children's labor to win boys and girls for Christ, or outreach workers and every age and category of people to get them under the sound of the gospel. If we have patience, God will make us to become fishers of men. Come ye after me! And I will make you to become fishers of men. May the Lord help us to follow Christ today, to become soul winners for His glory, to the extension of His kingdom. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Apply it, Lord, its challenge to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.